Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order. It's a great episode to start off the week. I'll get to the possible late December start for the season and what that means to the Warriors, how their recent visit with James Wiseman could change their draft plans, and then wrap up the show with a fake trade of the day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's been 7 months since the Warriors last played a basketball game, but the wait may soon be over. At the NBA's Board of Governors meeting on Friday, owners discussed a possible December 22nd start to the regular season, which took the Warriors and other teams by surprise. But from talking with people in the league and around the team, the NBA is leaning towards starting then without fans in the stands, abandoning plans of trying to play games at arenas with fans present. Adam Silver before said that that was the goal. The goal was to play in front of fans, play 82 games, and most likely the idea at least was to start next year, you know, late January, early February, something like that. But it seems like now the NBA has abandoned plans altogether. They're not, or of at least trying to get a vaccine in place and some sort of immunity in place before beginning the regular season. They are on a time crunch, right? They want to get back. It seems like their number one priority, at least now, is to get back to a normal NBA schedule sooner rather than later. There is some precedent for starting a season in December and ending it on a normal rate, on a normal schedule in June, right? In 2011, 2012, for that season, the season started in December because of the lockout and ended in June like normal. Now, there were some issues that year. They had to there were some scheduling quirks, like some back-to-back-to-backs, you know, three games in three nights, which is not going to fly in today's NBA. The Players Association has done a nice job of forcing the NBA to step back from normal back-to-backs, let alone three games in three nights, right? So they're going to have to figure out a way to limit that. What it could end up being is some baseball series style of scheduling where, you know, if the Warriors are going to New York, they're not going to, you know, Manhattan in December and then going to Brooklyn in February, for example, right? They would just play both the Knicks and the Nets in one, you know, weekend, in one three-day time, sort of time period. And what that's going to do is eliminate some of those traveling excursions, and it's going to probably quicken up the schedule too, where instead of bouncing around you and playing, you know, two games in four nights or two games in three nights, you could potentially play the Knicks one night, the Nets another night, and then spend a travel day getting back to the Bay Area, right? And so you're playing still two games in three nights. You're probably playing a back-to-back, but certainly better than having to play, for example, a back-to-back where you're playing in Detroit one night, getting on a plane in the middle of the night, and then going to, you know, Brooklyn. Instead of doing that, you would just stay in New York, which eliminates some of the travel. And that's the problem with these back-to-backs, is that the travel involved in the back-to-backs is really the problem, right? That's the exhausting part. That's the draining part for these players. These players play basketball nearly every day. So that's not really the issue, even though playing a game versus playing a practice is certainly different as far as intensity levels go. But that would at least help some of those back-to-backs. Not a thing a lot of people are talking about is if you're able to eliminate travel, potentially you could play back-to-backs in cities like that where you have multiple teams. Same thing goes for L.A. You could do something similar even in Texas if you're trying to play a series there. You know, going from Houston to Oklahoma City or Houston to Phoenix is not the same as going from Houston to San Antonio. You could potentially get away with that a little bit more. You don't even have to travel in the middle of the night. You could travel, you know, you could practice, you could play Houston on a Monday night, practice in Houston Tuesday, get on a plane for an hour, fly to San Antonio, and then play your game. I don't know. It's just ideas that I'm throwing out there, but at least it's something that the league is considering. What this also means is that there's an abbreviated offseason. So the draft is currently scheduled for November 18th. That's not going to change, but the free agency, which usually lasts about 2 weeks, is going to have to start soon after that. Because if you're starting the regular season, we can reverse engineer this. If you're starting the regular season December 22nd, which is what's been proposed, then you need about 3 weeks of training camp. You usually get about 3 weeks of training camp. Now, the NBA could abbreviate that too and go with 2 weeks, but normally you get about 3 weeks. So if you do get 3 weeks and you're starting your training camp at the beginning of December, that first week of December, so you need to be able to execute your entire offseason prior to your training camp, right? Because you need to know what players are going to get there. You need to fly players in market. You need to get all the contracts signed, everything taken care of. You need to get a media day out of the way, most likely. And so if you're starting training camp at the beginning of December, let's call it December 1st, then you probably need to wrap up your free agency a week before that, at least, and allow a few days of buffer time. Again, in order for guys to get into market, find living situations and all these things. So I would guess that you would probably have your draft November 18th, certainly have your draft November 18th, and then within the week, start free agency. That lasts a couple of weeks. Maybe, you know, you get a little bit of a Thanksgiving Day break because people don't necessarily like to work on Thanksgiving. You're probably not getting a lot of contracts signed that day. And then you sort of wrap that up quickly and then start, you know, preparing for training camp. And then, of course, you begin training camp. So the big question is this good for the Warriors, right? Like I said at the start, the Warriors haven't played a game in 7 months. It's been almost 250 days since they've played a basketball game. They, of course, had their little mini camp in the bubble last month, but they only had really one proper scrimmage. You didn't have Steph Curry there. You didn't have Draymond Green there. And of course, you didn't have the guys that they're going to draft or sign in free agency or trade for or whatever. So you can't really count that. And that's going to be tough. And that was one of the things that the Warriors have been concerned about all along, is there's such a big gap in between when they ended their season in mid-March to when the next season is going to begin that they could be rusty, right? Like, there is not going to be a lot of cohesiveness on that team compared to teams that played in the bubble. The Lakers and the Heat just got done playing 2 weeks ago versus the Warriors, who last played 7 months ago. I mean, that is a dramatic gap and could change things competitively. For the Warriors, it's going to take a minute for them to get going. And if they don't really have a proper preseason, which I don't think that there's going to be a long preseason this coming year, then that's going to take them a little bit longer to get into the swing of things in the regular season. And now, if they go from an 82-game schedule to a 72-game schedule, is what's proposed in that Board of Governors meeting Friday, then you even have, like, every game matters that much more. If you're only playing 72 games versus 82 games, those games are that much more important. And for the Warriors team trying to trampoline back into contention next year, every game counts for them too. And so if you don't have a preseason, then you're talking about maybe about 10 games where they're just trying to still work through lineups and sort of learn each other's tendencies and try to play off of Steph and Draymond and Klay and these guys that most of this roster hasn't really played with that much, if at all. And so I think, you know, for the Warriors, from a competitive standpoint, you know, obviously you want to play as soon as possible, but I do think that the Warriors would be more – they would benefit more from a normal type of lead-up where they got a standard training camp, they got a little bit of a preseason, and then they can start the season running. On the flip side of that, if you look at a team like the Lakers, who are presumably the favorites in the Western Conference and should be, they don't have much of a break at all, right? And so the Warriors, you could argue that they're going to be fresh in March and April when the season is concluding, where the Lakers, where they could be okay at the start of the season, may hit a wall in February or March or April because they've had barely any off time, right? They played more games than anybody else and in the bubble. They're exhausted, no doubt, from the bubble, and they're going to get the shortest break of all these teams other than Miami. And so if you're the Warriors, maybe that helps you going into next season. Maybe not at the start when they stumble out of the gate a little bit, but they might be more fresh than the Lakers at the end of the season, which could serve them well if they get into the playoffs and eventually have to go through the Lakers, which presumably to get to the NBA Finals, you're going to have to get through the Lakers one way or the other. So still a lot to unpack as far as this. We will keep you updated here on Locked On Warriors as far as the scheduling. But those are just some of my initial thoughts on what a December 22nd start date would mean for the Warriors. Next, some new information about James Wiseman could impact the Warriors' draft strategy. This is Locked On Warriors. Let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. I really do. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy. It fills me up while I'm busy or when I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. I know they have all these new flavors. I'm still a sucker for whatever has peanut butter. They have just regular peanut butter. They have chocolate peanut butter brownie. Peanut butter to me is a buzzword. And all the Built Bars, like those are the first ones to go when I order a new box of Built Bars. I take them with me when I'm traveling on the road, during the season, when I'm, you know, at practice and it's just a late night and I just don't have time to go get lunch. I just pack a couple of Built Bars with me and that lasts me throughout the day before I'm able to sit down and have a proper meal for dinner or something like that. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie, they're low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Tomorrow, I'll break down Obi Toppin's potential fit with the Warriors, but right now I want to talk about another draft prospect that I've been critical of, and that's James Wiseman. I've gotten a lot of flack on this show for being anti-James Wiseman. I'm not anti-James Wiseman. I like him as a kid. Everything that I hear from people around him and everything that I'm reading with him, he's a nice guy. He's super talented. I just don't think that he's a great fit for the Warriors. And that's all I'm saying. And on Friday's Mailbag podcast, I talked about how he's not the answer against Anthony Davis. And I still believe that. Now, that said, there's been some new information. This isn't me changing my mind. Okay, my thinking has all along been in line with how the Warriors have thought about this. But the Warriors visited James Wiseman and several other prospects on the East Coast this past week. Okay, James Wiseman, they saw Anthony Edwards in person. They were impressed by both of them, both Edwards and Wiseman. I think they've always been impressed by Anthony Edwards. He was always on the table for them to take at number two if Minnesota passed on Anthony Edwards at number one. James Wiseman, that the Warriors front office has been split on Wiseman, okay? But the top guys from the Warriors met with him in Miami and came away very impressed, okay? Specifically with his size and his athleticism. Now, it's one thing to see James Wiseman on camera or on film and see some of the things there. It's another thing to see him in person. That's why teams like the Warriors and other teams picking at the top of the draft wanted so badly for in-person workouts. In-person workouts change things. They do every single year in the draft. And in context to the Warriors, Wiseman is rising on their board only because they are so impressed with his size and his athleticism. Now, this, again, is not me changing my mind. A lot of people in my business, by the way, won't even get on here and say, hey, I'm changing my mind. I'm kind of coming around to the idea of X, Y, and Z, where I thought differently, you know, a month before or a week ago, or for in my case, days ago. Now, this isn't me. I wasn't wrong. I'm not telling you I was wrong. All I've ever done was report what people and tell you what people in the Warriors were thinking, saying to me, the feeling that I was getting from the organization about Wiseman and several other prospects. That's all I've ever done on this show. Now, had the Warriors not ever seen Wiseman in Miami, I don't think that he would be at all on the table for them at number two. But they came away very impressed. I'm not saying he's number one on their board. All I'm saying is that now he's definitely in the mix at number two. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I still have some concerns about his fit. I don't think that you can rely on James Wiseman to be the answer against Anthony Davis or Nikola Jokic. I just think he's too young. He's lost an entire year of development because he sat out that year in Memphis. But there are things you like. You like the size, the athleticism, his ability to run the floor. He's a lob threat. We know the Warriors love lob threats. He's a rim protector, something that they could use. He's a rebounder, something that they could use. But I have concerns about whether or not that shot is for real. I'm not a believer in that outside jumper, at least not immediately. Maybe he can work on it. Maybe with the Warriors coaching staff, they can get him going a little bit. They are certainly going to empower that, just as they have with Kevon Looney and Marquese Chriss and Alan Smilek, each of their other centers. I have concerns about his defense overall. Can he switch onto the perimeter in the playoffs? Do the Warriors think that they need somebody like that? Or would the Warriors prefer, you know what, maybe we don't need James Wiseman to be the future of the franchise. We just need him immediately just to be our seven-footer, our traditional guy. Like, instead of going and getting Cody Zeller or Alex Len or something like that in free agency, let's just draft Wiseman. And he could just be our seven-footer. He can drop back in coverage. We won't need him to get out on the perimeter at first, and then maybe he can progress after that. That, to me, would be the idea. And then I also have concerns about his ball skills. I don't know that he's a next-level passer. I just don't know if he has that in his game. And the Warriors are going to have to train that a lot in him. Now, maybe they believe in that coaching staff. Maybe they don't care about that because they can get some playmaking from Marquese Chriss. Maybe one day down the road, Alan Smilagic. They trust Kevon Looney in the middle of the offense as well. Maybe not the playmaker that Zaza and Andrew Bogut and David West were, but Looney at least knows what's going on. And can get guys the ball more often than not. But I still think that Wiseman, there are concerns I have with his game, with his overall fit with Golden State. I don't think he's the end-all, be-all answer for what they need. But in this draft, if they're not sold and they're not able to trade back, and by the way, trading back is still very much an option for the Warriors at number two. But if they're stuck there at number two and Anthony Edwards is off the board, I think they go with Wiseman over LaMelo Ball. They haven't seen yet LaMelo Ball, but they will be seeing him soon. And I think there's other guys in the mix. Devin Vassell, Tyrese Halliburton, guys that the Warriors like. But those guys are more likely an option if they trade down. They saw Denny Avia, too. Maybe also more of an option if they trade down as opposed to number two. But would not shock me if they reached either. All of this could still be smokescreens. I will grant you that. But they were impressed with Wiseman, and that's for real. Whether or not that means they take him at number two is a different story. But he's more in the mix this week now. He's more in the mix now than he was even a couple weeks ago. All right, I want to get to our fake trade of the week next. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. We are doing a fake trade of the week, fake trade of the day. I'm not quite sure how I want to do this. Definitely on Mondays, I want to end each show with a fake trade. Maybe I'll do a few more throughout the week, but this one comes from Carlos, who writes in, "The Warriors receive Drew Holiday and J.J. Redick. The Pelicans get Andrew Wiggins, Eric Paschal, the 2021 first-round pick from Minnesota that's top three protected, the Warriors' 2021 first-round pick, and a 2023 pick from the Warriors." First-round pick from the Warriors, again in 2023. I like the idea of Drew Holiday with the Warriors. I think it's a perfect fit. I think you could play Steph, Clay, Drew Holiday, and Draymond Green as your like foundational foursome, and then whoever you have at center is whoever you have at center. Holiday is good enough defensively, and Klay Thompson is big enough defensively that both those guys can guard several different positions on the perimeter, so I'm not worried about giving up size as much there because Drew Holiday is so good at defense. I mean, this is a guy who can guard Kevin Durant almost as well as anybody else in the league, save for like a Kawhi Leonard or a Jason Tatum type, but Holiday on the Warriors would be great. He would really just sort of reprise that role that Andre Iguodala played. I don't think you would bring him off the bench necessarily, but it's definitely a great ball handler, can thrive off the ball, good three-point shooter, and obviously an elite defender. And then J.J. Redick, you know what you're getting with him. Three-point specialist, tries hard on defense, etc. I just don't know that that's enough for the Pelicans. I don't see them... Like, Andrew Wiggins is still a negative contract in the NBA. This idea that the Warriors are going to be able to use Andrew Wiggins to somehow upgrade the roster right now doesn't make sense. Wiggins, again, you still need to probably attach a first-round pick to him in any trade. And maybe that's why Carlos proposed, you know, three first-round picks as part of this, which makes sense. But if you're the Pelicans, I don't know how much you want those first-round picks. Yeah, the Minnesota pick that's top three protected could be valuable, but it's top three protected. You're not going to get Cade Cunningham with that pick. You might not get Jalen Green with that pick. But what you could get is, you know, you can get anywhere between four, sure, but you could also end, that pick could end up being number 10. You never know. And if you're the Pelicans, I don't know that anything around there is really worth it to get rid of a guy like Jrue Holiday, where I think you can get a lot more for Holiday. Wiggins doesn't fit also, doesn't fit Zion Williamson, Alonzo Ball, and Brandon Ingram super well. With Zion and Lonzo Ball specifically, you want to space the floor as much as possible. I don't know that Wiggins is spacing the floor for you. Teams are still not respecting him as that outside shooter right now. And the same goes for Eric Paschal. And if you're the Pelicans, you're giving up some floor spacing in Jrue Holiday and J.J. Redick, who are accomplished three-point shooters, especially in the case of Redick. So yeah, you're getting some of these first-round picks, but the Warriors' picks in 2021 and 2023, how valuable is that for the Pelicans? Do you really care about picks in the 20s? I don't know. And by the way, you have a bunch of these first-round picks anyway if you're New Orleans, coming over from that Lakers deal. So I don't know that that's enough to get Jrue Holiday from the Pelicans. Maybe the number two pick this year and the trade exception, and maybe a sweetener like Paschal or Jordan Poole or something like that could get it done. But I still think if the Pelicans are going to move, they have a pick in the lottery, okay? And if they're going to move off of Jrue Holiday, I think they're going to do it for a young player who fits their core right now and probably not just some sort of mystery box type of pick or accumulation of assets. All right, so that'll do it for today's Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.